Hello and welcome to another episode of On The Topic. I'm about to embark on an awkward family reunion. I'm Alex.
And I'm going to try and squeeze myself into a really dodgy red Guardian suit. And I'm Dan.
Tight fitting. Yeah. And it's another week, Dan. And it's another episode. And we are, well, we've got a review of Black Widow. The long-awaited, much-anticipated, maybe 24th outing in the MCU. 24, Dan. I know we've remarked on just how many films are on the MCU, but it's 24. Absolutely phenomenal. So, yeah, we'll go into that in just a little bit. But before that, Dan, what have you been up to? Tell me, because we haven't seen each other in a while, and we can let listening about why we didn't see each other a couple of weeks ago, but what have you been up to?
Well, after annual leave, I went back to work, which is probably a reason why that this episode is a week late. You know, we had a week out, but yeah, stressful times, but it's all good. You know, working for the man has its perks, but has its cons as well.
Got to get that dollar.
Yeah, but other than that, I've been watching the Olympics.
Oh, yeah.
So before we start recording, I was watching the synchro 3 meter dive. I want to say 3 meter dive, went off the bouncy board. We're not doing very well, Alex. We're not doing very well on that one.
No, I mean, we've done some success in swimming and the likes. Tell you what, they Dan, it's the first time I've seen, I think it's, is it jiu-jitsu or judo? It's a fighting. This is how much I wasn't really paying attention. When I'm working, just to give people insight into, and I'm working, by the way, in case anyone of my work colleagues decides to comment, I have got a wall mounted, the first bit of DIY, the only bit of DIY I've done, and it's not a bad job. Anyway, I've wall mounted an iPad stand. It's a bit like one of those extendable TV stands, and it's on the wall. I've got my iPad to it, so I can play music. It's linked up to my smart speaker, et cetera, et cetera. But sometimes I put stuff in the background. So it could be an old episode of The Amazing Spider-Man, you know, from the 80s and 90s. Or it could be music, concert, video or playing in the background. I've been putting on the Olympics, or it was the Euros, it was the football. And anyway, there's these two lasses kicking the absolute shit out of each other in the jiu-jitsu or taekwondo, whatever it is. And that's why I wasn't really paying attention because I was working. But I glanced up and holy shit, Dan. I mean, I'd be absolutely useless in a fight. But these two lasses, fucking hell, they are just brilliant. I mean, I think we won one of those or went to silver or went to, well, the final and then went to silver. But wow, they're sight to behold. They're some talent. You know, roundhouse kicks and all the rest of it. It's really something to behold. So yeah, I'm really enjoying it. I like to watch the odd thing here and there. I think there was some cycling earlier on today and day of recording, and I think there's some rugby, isn't there, or something. So yeah, it's really interesting to watch. I'm glad they've gone ahead. I know still a bit of a weird time, and I know, you know, the hosts of Japan aren't too sure, but it's nice to see so much competition going on.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, on Sunday, this is the first time we saw skateboarding as well at the Olympics.
Yeah.
Which shows how far the sport's come. You know, when I was skateboarding back when I was, must have been 14, 15 years old.
An Asbo wielding 14-year-old Dan.
Yes, so 14, 15-year-old Dan trying to kickflip in the streets of Portsmouth. I was pathetic. But yeah, I mean, it just really shows how far, like, skateboarding's come. You know, I was playing Tony Hawk's 1 and 2 back in the day as well. Phenomenal soundtracks.
Oh no, definitely. I haven't picked up the remaster because I don't think it'd be as good as what it was. I remembered, I think we talked about this before, so in fear of repeating ourselves to our listeners, our loyal fans, there's a basement retro gaming place around here. We should go actually down at some point. We should do an episode from there. Maybe I'll tap them up, do an interview. I think it was about a couple of years ago now, and I went with some friends, and we played some retro games, and one of them was Pro Skater 2. And it is good, but it's a little bit clunky, you know, because there's only so much you can dress it up. It's still, you know, the same kind of mechanics and the animations. But yeah, I don't know. Jury's out on whether or not I'd pick it up, but It is very nostalgic. But, you know, to your point, Dan, you know, it's such a long way that the, and it is now a sport, but the hobby, whatever you want to call it, has come. And to the point where I think, is it a 13-year-old Japanese lass has won it or something? Is that right?
13
She's
years old.
brilliant.
That's
Yeah, what a talent.
phenomenal.
So now, I've been enjoying it too. She's really good.
Just want to revisit as well one of our previous episodes, cancelled TV shows.
Oh, yes.
I mean, firstly, that I've got a bit of hope that Manifest might be saved, but it still doesn't look too good. But it was released in on Netflix not long ago, and apparently is smashing records as we speak. NBC and Netflix are in talks to potentially rescue it, but I don't know. I'm not optimistic, unfortunately. But we did get two listeners come back to us about the episode.
Amazing.
So
What does it
first up, we got Zach. He said Firefly could have been as big as Star Trek. Also, quite enjoyed the Blade TV that only got one season, and they ended it on a cliffhanger. I think they thought they would get a second season.
I never saw Blade. I don't think it was released here in the UK. I might be wrong. It might be on some kind of godforsaken backwater channel, but I never picked it up. I never heard too much of it because of it. But Firefly, I mean, I got into, there wasn't that many episodes, was there? 15, was it, or 12? I can't remember now.
Yeah, it wasn't a lot. I think it only lasted a season, didn't it? Back in 2005, 2006. I know it had a bit of a cult following.
Joss Whedon, wasn't it, was behind it?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. At least we say about Joss the better. Don't want to be done for libel. But anyway, it's an interesting concept. Like, I could only get into episode six or so because it got a bit samey. Now, some people are going, "Oh, Alex, what are you doing?" And we get some hate mail, but I could still see where there was the attraction. I'm not saying it was rubbish. I'm just saying that I ran out of steam. But yeah, it was. It had some potential for sure, and it was Nathan Fillion, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think
I think it
so.
was. He was the lead, and he's always very charismatic and made for the sci-fi genre. So, was it Zach?
Yep, and those
Yeah,
echo
shout out to Zach.
sentiments were echoed by Dan WH as well, who said, "I still
Ah.
miss Firefly, sad face."
Yeah. Lots of love out there still. Yeah, there might be some kind of reunion or life breed into it. I don't know. There's definitely a cult following.
Good episode to listen to, though. Go check it out. I think we even blast back into the 90s with one of our listeners' recommendations.
It's always
Benidorm,
a
was
good,
it?
I think so, yeah. Always a good good thing to do. Go back to a good decade.
But let's kick things off. Let's talk about the latest installment from the MCU. I mean, we've waited what must be over a year now for this to
18 months, 2 years,
18
was it?
months.
Yeah, it's a long,
Yeah.
long time. Before getting to that, Dan, it's still relatively new. It's only, what, 3 weeks or so? 4 weeks? 3 weeks?
Yeah.
Let's dust off the old faithful klaxon and let's give her a sounding, just in case you haven't seen it. I don't know why you're listening to this episode. Thank you. But pause it, go have a watch, come back and recommence listening. But just in case you're still here, here she is.
The good old klaxon.
Beautiful. She's beautiful. So yes, before we get into it, Dan, just a bit of full disclosure. I'm actually reviewing this one from the comfort of my own living room. I think you were too, weren't you?
Yes. So my other half's still a little bit anxious about going to cinema, you know, as some people probably are. You know, we're still in a pandemic, unfortunately. So yeah, I mean, it was for me, 20 quid well spent. I've watched it twice now. So I watched it during my week off. And I watched it again on Sunday just to come into this episode with a fresh mind and fresh thoughts.
And with that, you know, in the comfort of your own home, you might think there's a lack of COVID, sticky floors, and strangers in the dark. But I'm not quite sure. I've just described a cinema there. But anyway, yes, we both decided to, like sheeple, pay the extra dollar, $22 give or take, and $19.99 for UK sterling, and watch it on Disney Plus. And if you do that, not that I have shares and it's not a sponsored episode, but if you do that, you can watch it as many times as you want, no limit, whilst it's still in the cinema. And I don't know whether that's, you know, nationwide coverage or if it's anywhere, but you're going to get some mileage if you like it enough.
Hmm.
But therein is the hook, and we can talk about that as we go through the episode. But this one is, of course, starring Scarlett Johansson, Florence Pugh, David Harbour, my not-so-secret on-screen crush, Rachel Weisz, who still does something for me. Not that people need to have that image in their minds. Ray Winston and Olga Kurylenko. And I'm probably just butchered her name, so apologies, Olga.
That's fine. We're good at mispronouncing names on this show.
Yeah. Now, this is, of course, I mentioned before, the 24th film down of the MCU. And, of course, it is also set immediately after the events of Captain America Civil War back in 2016. So you may be aware, and hopefully you are, if you're listening and you're a fan of the MCU. But if you're not, don't get confused. She's brown bread as of the end of Infinity War. But this is set before that. So it's a bit of an odd timing and placement. I'm still not quite sure it pays off, but unless that's where it is. And this is where it does see Natasha on the run and forced to confront a conspiracy. Dan, do you want to kick us off with a synopsis?
Yes, of course. So we kick things off in 1995. Russian undercover agent super soldier Alexei Shostakov and Black Widow Melina Vostokov poses a normal family in Ohio with their surrogate daughters, of course, Natasha and Yelena. When the mission to steal S.H.I.E.L.D. intel was complete, the family escapes to Cuba and rendezvous with their boss, General Dracov, who has Romanoff and Belova taken to the Red Room for training. I mean, they're quite young. It's genuinely sort of quite harrowing images.
It's quite a savage start, Dan, don't you think, in terms of it's not... There's an underlying kind of sadness to the opening scene, and it doesn't put any punches. It's quite the dark start.
Yeah, and we get the twist on Nirvana's Smells Like Teenage Spirit.
Yes, which is very harrowing.
It's very sort of... I mean, it's weirdly beautiful, but at the same time, it's like a droning kind of like sadness to it. It's... I guess it gives a bit of emphasis to the images. You know, we're seeing the two go through the Red Room and the training and staging these photos, I guess, which we'll talk about later in the... but of course, years pass and Shostakov is imprisoned in Russia while Romanoff defects off to S.H.I.E.L.D., which we see her in Iron Man 2, of course.
Mm.
After bombing Dracov's Budapest office, apparently killing him and his young daughter, Antonia, an act that haunts Natasha. I mean, I think there are some references from Loki in the Avengers, which I've got in my notes a bit later on. But we'll talk about that shortly.
And we fast forward, don't we, Dan, to what should be modern day, but it actually is not, 2016. And she's, of course, on the run. He's on the lam, as they say, because, of course, it's the end of Ultron and Civil War, and she hasn't signed the Sokovia Accords, or she has, but she's defected, and she's in hiding where the rest of her mates are locked up in the raft in the middle of the ocean. And to that effect, she flees Thunderbolt Ross, who I think he's one of the most... He's almost as... prominent now as Nick Fury, right? I mean, he's cropped up in a lot of films, and I think he's going to be only more and more prevalent in Phase 4, no doubt, with the Thunderbolts or the Dark Avengers or whatever he ends up creating. He's going to go that way. But, you know, he was either in Ed's Incredible Hulk, wasn't he?
Yes, that was his first film, yeah.
Yeah, been around for a long, long time. Anyway, so she flees that safe house, and we're introduced to a softer side of Natasha, aren't we? She has a mate, Rick Mason, a Brit who's a bit of a black market fixer, I guess.
Yeah, he sort of acquires things if you give him a bit of time and money.
Yeah, and there's a bit of friendship going on there, so they're very familiar and... Looks like I've been working for a while. And it's nice kind of glimmer into her background. It's not all business. She has other friends other than Clint, Hawkeye. And yeah, she's staying out in the very beautiful and very peaceful Norway. Now, while she's doing that, we also flip then to her sister. So her sister, her Belova, or Yelena, as I'll refer to her, as Yelena, is chasing down someone with some synthetic gas.
Mm.
And it ends off going off, doesn't it? It's she tries to take down this contact. This gas goes off her face. It ends up neutralizing her in some fashion. It turns out that she's under the influence of the Red Room.
Mm.
And it's not just conditioning or training, which Natasha went through, now using gas as a mind control agent to make them more susceptible. So anyway, she's now got her freedoms back, it seems, Dan.
Mm. It's quite a gritty moment as well. Like, it's not something I would have expected from a Marvel film, because no. Yelena stabs this agent in the stomach and you see her twist the knife. I mean, obviously, you don't get the gore, but it's a bit like, that's quite uncomfortable.
Well, it is. And I don't think, even up to Endgame, where is it Endgame? No, it is Infinity War, where Loki croaks it.
Mm.
You still don't fully see. I mean, he was choked to death. He was suffocated, which is still quite grim. But they still try in the main Disney Marvel shy away from that brutal element, because I want to slap on that PG sign on PG-13. But it's still quite graphic, Dan.
Yeah. Romanoff unknowingly drives off with the antidote. I mean, I don't really quite know how the antidote got to her, but anyway, she's attacked by Taskmaster.
Yelena posted, doesn't she? Because they both share the same safe house, the same cabin in Norway. And yeah, she doesn't realise that she got this parcel, and she's driving away, I think, to get fuel for a caravan or some tenuous plot point. And yeah, she's attacked on the bridge.
Yeah, well, she managed to escape and realises that the antidote came from Yelena. So she heads off to Budapest.
Budapest. Have you been to Budapest, Dan?
I have not. I would like to go. My other half has been. She loves it.
It's quite a nice city, yeah. Food is phenomenal. I don't think many people associate that part of the world with, and no offence, by the way, guys, fine cuisine. Usually it's associated, I guess, with meats and potatoes and those kind of things. It's not. It's wonderful, finely crafted food. It's beautiful cuisine. If you can get out there, do it. It's bloody cold. We went in February, not a good year to go. Good time of year to go. It's freezing, but it's a nice city. It is.
Say the same about Prague, actually. Yeah, lovely city. I went during February many years ago. It must have been 2007. It was freezing. It gets so cold at night.
It does. But yeah, try and get out there. It's good.
Mm. It was quite cool actually seeing Taskmaster as well, mimicking some of the fighting styles of our favourite Avengers.
Don't you think that scene where, I know it goes slightly back here, but when Natasha's fighting on the bridge, don't you think that's like a nod perhaps to the Avengers game that no one likes or loves? You know, on the A-Day sequence?
Yeah, I thought that actually. Mm. Very similar. I got back into playing the Avengers game, Alex.
Yeah.
Yeah, so during my week off, I picked it up, reinstalled it, you know, had a bit of time to kill. Quite enjoying it a little bit at the moment. Quite like Clint Barton's little storyline. We take on, I forget what the Hulk becomes, but yeah, it's a tricky boss to battle. Back to being bored again now, I'm afraid. Done it, completed it. So, got to wait till Wakanda.
Yeah, when Wakanda comes out, I think I'll load it back up and that give me maybe a good couple of weeks worth of gameplay. But yeah, after Taskmaster hands Natasha some knuckle sandwiches, as you say, she goes to Budapest. And this is an interesting set of scenes. I think we've all seen it. It's been leaked for the last 18 months, where Natasha and Yelena both meet up and they have a fight, and then they're ambushed as a chase. And it's, again, there's quite a gritty scene where a widow ends up effectively falling to her death and demise, which again is quite gritty for a Marvel Disney film.
Oh, she gets mind control, doesn't she? And
she does.
She essentially blasts herself in the face, whatever's on the they wear on their wrists. But it's quite gross. You know, she falls a few stories. You know, she's in this puddle of water, and you can even see like the blood sort of like just leaking from whatever she's broken her leg. It's kind of grim.
It is. And then they're chased down. So after they're being chased by their fellow kin, the other widows, Taskmaster then gets out the old bow and arrow and fires God knows what at the sisters, or not as the case may be, but we call them sisters for the purposes of this episode.
Yeah.
And they manage to evade, where they then decide to embark upon a rescue mission, Dan, don't they?
They do. They decide they're going to break out Shostakov out of prison to learn Dreykov's location. The inmate who questions Alexei's fight with Captain America is named Ursa. So this is, I'm sort of putting Easter eggs sort of throughout the episode, whose name is taken directly from the comics. Now, in the comic books, Alex, Ursa Major is the superhero alter ego of Mikhail Yurikovich. Ursus, again, probably not doing the name any justice. A member of Russian's version of the Avengers who can turn into a bear. So I think, and we might not see him again, but this is possibly our first hint at mutants.
Yeah, perhaps. I think that's what the actor said on Twitter after, didn't he? He said he was really excited to be able to announce that's it, but that's what he was playing, is a mutant. Mm. But we obviously don't see that, but there is potential to tease a Russian Avengers initiative. Because you wouldn't come out on Twitter and mention something that you're not seeing on the screen unless you're going to be seen again. So I think that's quite an interesting Easter egg you just shared there, Dan.
Yeah, but he gets a call and he's given a toy soldier of himself, to which the head pops off and he's given a little earpiece. And he's told to escape. But of course, he doesn't go quietly. He's got to make a bit of a ruckus on his way out.
He does. And he's Russia's answer to the super soldier, isn't he? And we do later learn that he's gone toe-to-toe with Steve Rogers in the past as the Red Guardian. and again, one of the scenes that we see, and I do have a bit of beef with this. It's not necessarily the film's fault, Dan. I just want to quickly say this. But due to the passage of time, every trailer that has come out since it was first released has shown all the good bits of this film.
Yeah.
Now, that sounds quite harsh. I don't mean it to, but it's a fact. And one of the bits we see is where, you know, Scarlett Johansson or a stunt double or whatever ends up doing a backwards flip and landing in the kind of the white snow get-up uniform onto you know, a high-rise metal walkway, and that's where she dispatches the guards, and they do this very messy and loud prison break job. And you know, there's not a lot to it. There's not too much finesse, but anyway, the long short of it is, they end up getting away with the father of the family now in a helicopter on their way to their mother's.
Mm.
Of course, played by my future wife. Don't tell my wife that, but my future wife, Rachel Weisz, who obviously plays the role of Melina. Now, at this stage in the story, Romanov and Belova, so Yelena and Natasha, weren't aware their mother was alive. They are now, and that's where Alexei takes them to go and meet a Rachel Weisz in the form of Melina.
Yep, she is living on a farm just outside of St. Petersburg, where she's developed the chemical mind control process used on the widows. Interesting, something that ties into the Avengers, as I mentioned earlier.
Hmm.
Alexei mentions how Yelena and Natasha's ledgers must be gushing red.
Yes.
And this is a callback to Natasha and Loki's conversation in the Avengers.
Your ledger is dripping. It's gushing red, and you think saving a man no more virtuous than yourself will change anything?
Yelena also makes fun of Alexei and calls him the Crimson Dynamo. Now, in the comics, one version of the Crimson Dynamo was part of the Winter Guard, aka Russia's version of the Avengers, which also included the Red Guardian and Ursa Major.
Mm.
But anyway, it's here where Belova reveals that while they were not a real family, she believed they were so. I mean, she's starting to show probably a softer side because she's quite quite hard, isn't she?
It's all business, and she's seen a lot of action. And I wouldn't say she's cold, but she's very, as I say, businesslike.
Yeah, it's quite a nice moment as well where she's sort of a bit sulky in her, bedroom.
Mm.
And, you know, the Red Guardian comes through and they sing My Miss American Pie.
They do. This goes all the way back to the beginning with the soundtrack, doesn't it, when they're singing in the car.
Yeah, and while this is going on, Melina admits that she sent their location to Dracov, and their agents turn up in helicopters, and the poor Red Guardian gets shot to pieces by several tranquilizers.
And he's captured.
He conks out. But he tried, right? Or did he? I don't think he did.
No, he just got knocked out, didn't he?
Yeah. So they arrive and they take them to the Red Room, which is quite well hidden. It's actually an aerial facility. So somewhere up in the clouds, much like S.H.I.E.L.D. and the helicarriers.
Now, I have got a slight bit of beef with this, Dan.
Okay.
Because I get how a clandestine organisation can be off the radar because they're always moving. I get that. But surely someone would have found them since they've been operating since God knows when, 70s, 60s, 50s, whenever the programme started. I do find that, and I know we talk about superhero films, so talk about reality and realism, I think is a tongue-in-cheek when I say this, but I do find it difficult to buy as a storyline because it's, you can't miss it. It's a floating city.
Mm.
And as you know, there are only so many clouds that you can create to hide in. So I don't know, it's a bit of an odd one, but it is going to stick out like a sore thumb. But anyway, yes, they are taken to this floating city in the clouds.
Mm. Well, it turns out that Natasha and Melina had used the face mask technology, which we've seen previously. Yeah. They switched places before being captured. Allowing Vostokov to free Shostakov and Belova from their restraints. Meanwhile, Natasha confronts Dracov, who sees through her disguise.
He does, yeah. And this, I guess, I don't know if we want to get into it now, maybe we'll get into it in a minute when we talk about the bits we perhaps didn't like about this, but this was supposed to be the big showdown, Dan.
Mm.
And it's to the point where I didn't actually realise it was until probably the end of the film. There's supposed to be some big heartfelt, you know, you're my ex-boss, look what you've done to me, look what you're doing to these other women and the rest of it. And I just think it didn't come across particularly well. But anyway, Natasha, she's always in control. She's always two steps ahead. And she ends up disabling this pheromone that apparently he can control people with by effectively headbutting the table, and she then ends up running away, and she ends up duking it out with all the other widows.
Captain America Winter Soldier sort of vibes in the lift.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, she's going to kick all their asses, but no, she ends up getting a beat down eventually.
She does. But her sister comes to her aid, disperses the special gas, and they all come to their senses and escape. But that's not before Natasha ends up stealing all of the various intel of all the different units, widows, should I say, posts all around the world, and ends up dispatching some important parts of the floating city that starts to blow up.
And she's also learned the identity of Taskmaster, put my teeth in. It's actually Antonia, who we believed was blown up.
Yeah, we thought she was crispy, and she well, she was a little bit, but yeah, she's been somehow, I guess, a bit like a mashup between man and a machine. She's like Frankenstein, and she's part computer and programmable and the rest of it. And that's where again we see one of the big set pieces with the escape from this exploding city. And she's flying through the air, and she's being chased by Taskmaster through the sky, and they're both free falling. And that scene is probably, I mean, it's very high up if they're free falling for that long fighting. But I thought that ended a bit prematurely, a bit lackluster. Don't you feel, Dan? Like they, I was expecting some big kind of ruckus in the air and fighting, and they didn't happen.
They could have dragged it out for sure.
I think so.
Longer. You know, they're jumping from like bits of like debris falling through the sky, but it just seemed to, it was sort of over before it begun.
Yeah, there just wasn't really anything to it. And I can't, maybe you've seen it a second time, perhaps you can recall how Natasha overcame Taskmaster, but I seem to recall it was quite a muted ending. And then they all just parachuted to the ground. Brilliant. And that's it.
They do sort of slug it out a little bit on the ground, but she manages to get the helmet off and unleash the pheromone on Antonia, which sort of brings her back around.
Yeah. Of course, then it's a big reunion. Everyone runs up and they all cheer effectively. And what are you going to do now? And Yelena ends up going with the widows to carve their own future. And General Ross is fast approaching his convoy of Humvees, ready, assumingly, to take Natasha away in handcuffs.
I mean, great moment before everything sort of blows up is when Yelena essentially puts her long metal stick into Dracov's helicopter and just blows him up. Which is probably a good thing, to be honest, because he was just a pointless villain. But I mean, we'll talk more about him in a minute.
And then that's pretty much it. Awesome credits, mid-credits scene. Oh, that's not. It's 2 weeks later, isn't it? And Romanoff then looks like she does in Infinity War. She's blonde. She dyed her hair. She meets with her mate Mason, who's now got a Quinjet, who's now had a little bit more time, a little bit more money.
Yep.
As opposed to the helicopter, which she didn't have either of those things. And she mentions she's going to go and free her friends. And of course, then that then leads on to Infinity War.
Indeed. I'll tell you what, that's a nice loose end tied up for me, because I spent 5 years wondering how Cap got to the raft. Now I know.
Yeah, and how he's broken out. Then your roll credits. Let's get a bit too excited. Roll credits. And in the post-credits scene, Yelena goes to visit the grave, I guess in real time now, Natasha's grave, which is a little bit odd as a scene. And that's where Valentina's there. And of course, if you've been up to your Disney Plus, you know that Valentina was in the Falcon with the Soldier, because she's pulling the strings in the background of that. And that was why it was supposed to be a big kind of gasp, big reveal when we saw her in the Falcon. But of course, due to the order of events and the global pandemic, no one really knew who she was. It hadn't quite crossed over to that point when Falcon came out, because Falcon was obviously out of order. But anyway, she's there. And she effectively says, look, I've got another job for you. There's some quips by Yelena. But in essence, she says, look, I've got a job for you. I want to go and kill Clint Barton.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know quite how the story, and of course, no one would really know that Clint was innocent and he tried to top himself and jump off before the Soul Stone himself. And apparently he's held responsible. Now, I don't know whether they directly think that, or whether they think that he hadn't done enough. But either way, yes, she's gunning for him. And assumingly, Dan, that then leads into the Hawkeye show in the fall or the autumn, as we know over here.
Yeah, so it'll be, I've got in my notes, it's scheduled to premiere sort of late 2021, so I don't think we're far off, Alex.
No.
I'm quite looking forward to it, actually. I want a bit of Jeremy Renner in my life. Hawkeye has been long overdue his own series, his film. Get it in my life. I'm ready.
And I think Renner, if you go by Instagram, he's had a lot of fun film in this. He loves the character, and I think he enjoyed playing this one out. So I think that'll be a joy to watch. And that's the film, Dan. Any notable standout favourite bits for you? I think we covered a couple off, but any that you think, you know what, that was really good. I really enjoyed that bit.
I do think the family dinner was probably my favourite moment. Yeah. It's awkward. It's kind of funny. It's a little bit sad. It's got sort of a mix of emotions. Mm. You know, you start to see that softer side of Yelena. You've got Alexei trying to get the Red Guardian suit back on. He comes in and it's just... You've got Natasha and Yelena just look at him like, what?
Mm.
And then Melina's look at him like, ooh. It's classic. It's a great picture. And so we don't... I think before the MCU, we never really used to get moments like that in superhero films. You know, I talked about it in Age of Ultron where they have the party and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's nice that we get these moments. You sort of see that human side to our heroes. And
yeah, it's not all action. There are relationships and there is dysfunction and there is sadness. And I think we needed that. Just reflecting now, Dan, I think it didn't make my list, but I agree, actually, when I think about it, it probably does now, because you're right, it gives you a lot of the good bits about the character and adds further depth to Natasha, I think, which I don't think I appreciated when I first watched it.
It's good that, you know, I think you can sort of flesh that out a little bit more in, say, the Disney Plus series. Mm. I know people sort of want that instant gratification. You know, we've talked about that before. But actually, I think it was episode 5 of, say, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, where they really started to flesh out Sam and Bucky's characters. Mm. It's needed sometimes. I do think it's needed. And obviously, you can't spend all that time in a film, but just having those moments sort of really make it, I think.
Yeah.
To be honest, I want to say the bit where they are fighting as they're falling, but actually haven't seen it again. It's a little bit lackluster.
Yeah, it's just very short-lived. And I think we've seen it time and time again, haven't we, in the trailers and the teasers. And that's pretty much the scene.
Mm. But any notable scenes for you, Alex?
Yeah, I've already mentioned it, but I think there was some potential... Again, it might be because I played the game. But when there was a fight scene with Taskmaster, it wasn't expected. You know, it's all. This had some sprinklings of Captain America 2: The Winter Soldier.
Yeah, agreed.
You know, some left field. Someone's got shot, or someone's been, you know, taken out, or they've been attacked. You know, when that probably reminds me most, but not so well executed. You know, where Fury's in the Jeep in that film, and it all goes a bit wrong, and it's attacked, and it all goes naught to mental very, very quickly. That's similar to, but not as say well executed as that. In this one, where Natasha's driving, she's gone to get fuel for a caravan, and then suddenly, you know, the arrow comes, or she's rammed out of the way, and she's about to be taken out by Taskmaster. It's the first time she comes across the character, rightly or wrongly, whether you like that incarnation, that interpretation or not. I mean, I quite liked it. I wouldn't say it's done it total justice, but then. It wasn't a bad first attempt, and hopefully that won't be the last time we see that character. But I think aesthetically, it looked good. The mimicry I thought was well handled. I think the choreography was pretty good, and it was interesting that actually Natasha had come toe to toe with someone that she couldn't beat to affect the way she jumped into the water and swam away. But therein lies one of my challenges, though, Dan, because as we know, Natasha has gone up against gods. She's gone up against the Chitauri.
Hmm.
She's gone up against the, or will go up against the Obsidian Order and the army of Thanos. I do wonder whether she was underpowered. You know what I mean?
Yeah, this happens a lot in the MCU, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, with their solo outfits, you do find that, because they raise the stakes and they can overcome the odds, but when they tend to be on their own, not the origin stories, because you'd expect them not to have that experience, perhaps, but you just expect her to be able to hold her own a lot better than she did. I do wonder whether they kind of depowered her. But anyway, I thought it was a good build-up to the character and the fact that it's not just a case of one person kicking the shit out of someone else. That will not work. And at the minute, she doesn't know how to fight that, so she flees. So I did quite like it. It was out of the blue, very left field. Not so much shocking, but it wasn't anticipated. So I like that one.
I think, again, I'll sort of put into play the bit where her and Yelena sort of are pegging it from the widows as well through Budapest.
Yeah.
That was very sort of, again, had sort of Winter Soldier vibes to it.
Yeah, I've got some notes here. I'll say it now as opposed to my overall impression. It felt a little bit, and I'm a big fan, although Tom Cruise, not so much, of his Mission Impossibles, and it felt a little bit Mission Impossible-esque, bit Jason Bourne, bit Winter Soldier. And I quite like that spy kind of down to earth. There's no one flying around with a cape, there's no one with a magical hammer. Just people running around, getting shot at or kicking the shit out of each other. And yeah, I think that fight scene actually was pretty good.
So yeah, I think those are probably my two favourite moments.
So the bits perhaps, Dan, that you didn't quite like. Let's get out the swear jar. Let's get out all our soap boxes. You kick us off. What grinds your gears? What can be committed to the Mariana Trench? What can get in the sea for this film?
Ray Winston.
100%.
Ray Winston.
He's made my notes too.
Is he Cockney? Is he Russian? I don't even know.
Who knows, Dan?
He was awful. He was he wasn't a good villain. I just found him a little bit pointless. Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of glad he probably only had a maximum of what, 5 minutes throughout the whole film. Yeah. He was just shite.
And you know, he's quite good at Brit gangster films, right? So he plays that bedraggled, older, wearied kind of villain or foe. But in this, you're right, Dan. I think they're just kind of confused about really what he was doing and where his power lied. And I do struggle with the fact that he's supposed to be this kind of Russian kingpin. But it's the first we've heard of him. And, you know, he's supposed to be one of the most feared adversaries of the MCU. Surely they would have dropped hints about him, or, you know, there was reference to him somewhere, someplace, because he's wielding quite a powerful force. The Black Widows are to be feared. But we don't really hear of him until, you know, 12 years into the MCU. And then, well, that's the character setup. And then you're right, Dan. I mean, his accent was complicated. And I didn't really get any kind of motivations for him. I don't know about you, Dan, but you usually get a baddie who's been wronged, or there's usually, you know, MCU films always do with family.
Yeah.
So they're an angered family member, a father, a son, a sister. Perhaps they've run out of that angle, but I didn't really get why he was doing any of it. Was it because he wanted to control the world? Was it because he wanted to have riches? And there was no real incentive for him to keep on commanding the widows to do these things, apart from just controlling a bunch of kick-ass women, which is cool, right? In a non-creepy slave kind of way. But to what end? What was he going to do? There was no end result. You know, in a James Bond film, the baddie usually wants to have world domination. They want to hold the world to ransom. That's what a good spy film does. Or there is a nefarious plot to blow up a national city or a capital city or an event to make a point or to get revenge. But what was Ray Winston's character, which is really quite forgettable, but again, he's Dreykov. What was Dreykov's motivations, apart from training these assassins? What are they going to do, Dan? Do you know?
No. It's
very odd.
So I watched it. I've seen it twice now. Couldn't find his motive at all. Shame, really. But I mean, this isn't the Ray Winston film. I mean, this is about sort of filling in a bit of Natasha Romanoff's story. But yeah, I suppose when you sort of go into these films, you want a good villain and you want someone that's got a good motive. But yeah, there just wasn't one, really. It was just, oh.
It was very 2D. I mean, if you look at Corey Stoll's version of Darren Cross from Ant-Man, I mean, he's not up there in terms of one of the best baddies, but he was semi-believable, right?
Yeah.
He made the yellow jacket, and he had the love interest, and he wanted to be the next kind of Tony Stark, and he wanted to control the weapons industry. You get that. It wasn't a great portrayal of a baddie, but you understand the motivations.
He just wanted a bit of power, didn't he? You know, he wanted, you know.
And then to sell to Hydra. But to Ray Winston, there was nothing. And then with the 2D acting, which again was just convoluted and troublesome, I just think it took the sting out of it.
Mm.
And I really didn't see where it was going.
Yeah, never mind. I mean, have you got any other moments that you weren't too keen on?
The only other thing I'll say is, you know, as I said before, we saw all the good bits in the trailer. And that's really odd for an MCU film, Dan. Because usually there's some really good bits. There's some wow moments. There's some, I didn't see that coming, or that's amazing. Who's that character? Didn't have this in this film. Now, I do wonder, in the film's defense, whether it was just a victim of trying to keep us all on the back burner and interested during the course of a global pandemic and cinemas are shut. But whatever it is, whatever the reason, I felt like I'd seen the film. And all the bits in between. Some of it was useful filler, but a lot of it wasn't.
Yeah.
I think that's maybe one of my gripes. And I mean, I guess for me overall, it's definitely worth a watch, Dan, right?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say it's the best MCU film, but I wouldn't say it's the worst either.
No.
You know, if I was going to give it a number out of 10, I'd probably give it a 7. Maybe I'm being a bit too generous, but yeah, 7.5, 7.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's a potentially strong entry. It wouldn't make the top 10, and you can say it now because there's 24 of them. But I did enjoy, and as I say, it did have elements of those spy films that I do like. But my question is, Dan, would you pay $22 for it or $19.99? Oh, you did, but retrospectively, did you think that was value for money?
No.
Okay.
But then that said, if there wasn't a global pandemic, I would have gone to the cinema and seen it for a fiver.
Yeah.
But then I've got my money's worth, actually, because, you know, me and my pal watched it twice, and actually, yeah, it equates to 20 quid. So can't really complain too much.
No. I mean, I tend to go VIP or nothing. Go big or go home. And they come to the tune of 12 British pounds.
Mm.
And I probably would have seen it twice. And if you throw in there some popcorn or some overpriced drink, you're probably paying over the odds, over $19.99. Whereas for $19.99, I don't have to go outside the house. I can pause it if I want to go and grab a beer or answer the phone or whatever.
Yeah.
You can do those things.
No, there's nothing worse. You know, I'll say this now. You bollocks me for this back in the Endgame episode where I said I had to go to the toilet. I held on for as long as I could. To be honest, I didn't really miss anything that exciting. It was just Thor getting Mjolnir back. And obviously when Mjolnir sort of came into the battle at the end, I was like, why the fuck did he get that? And Claire was like, you missed it because you went for a piss.
I mean, that's the problem with that film. It is so long. You did do a schoolboy era. I don't apologise for calling you out on it. But everything was good in that film. So even if you stepped out at any point of the film, something big's happened because they had to cover so much ground so quickly. So at least you didn't, you know, miss out on a big plot point, I guess, Dan.
No.
But I think it probably was, for me, just about worth it. If I stack up the economies, it is probably worth sinking the costs. But the critics, what did the critics say, Dan? Well, Rotten Tomatoes, and sometimes we go there, sometimes we don't, they gave it 81% certified fresh.
Oh, so it's gone up by 1% since I wrote my notes.
Okay.
I got 80%, which had an average rating of 7 out of 10, which is, I think, what we both gave it.
Right, okay. I mean, audiences gave it a 92%, but I do wonder whether 2.5 years, give or take, of no MCU is possibly playing a part. But anyway, the audiences love it more, which is not surprising. Sometimes that happens. Some words, Dan, some quotes. In a film that is mostly colourless, David Harbour stands out with an undeniable shade of red. That's a positive comment, by the way. And I we haven't really remarked on the cast very quickly because I think we're doing a disservice. Cast, apart from Ray Winston, brilliant.
Oh, quality. David Harbour. Love David Harbour.
Phenomenal. He propped up the film. Scarlett Johansson, given. Very good. Florence Pugh. I haven't seen anything with her in it before. She's a Brit. I didn't know that. She's great.
Oh, she's fantastic. She's also in a wrestling film.
Is she?
I'll let you carry on. I'll just quickly name, I'll find the film.
Yeah, Google it. Florence was very good, though. I mean, sometimes her accent was confusing. I think it was very well, very thick put on, you could tell. But her lines and the character were quite funny. Rachel Weisz, brilliant, nailed it. Kind of the old ice cold mother, but still had a caring element to her. And again, quite funny, deadpan, my sense of humor, and she's beautiful. So that's why I like Rachel Weisz. But she's always going to be good. And then Olga didn't really say too much, bless her, in terms of the role. We don't talk about Ray Winston, but 85% odd of that cast, absolutely nailed, spot on.
Yeah.
You know, even with our best mates, what's his name? Rick Mason, who provides the kit, the black market kit. Quite nice to see, you know, another Brit in there. We're taking over the world, Dan, not just villains. And again, there's that familiarity and that friendship there, which we've been introduced to. And we see another side to Natasha. And I can't fault in the main the casting. Again, they're done brilliantly.
Yeah. Florence Pugh was in Fighting With My Family from back in 2019, based on a true story. She plays a wrestler called Paige, and how she makes her way up to being a professional wrestler in the WWE. It's a really good film, Alex. It's on Netflix, I believe, if you want to watch it.
Yeah, I'll have to go and take a look because, again, I hadn't been really seen her in anything before, but this one I thought she was good.
Yeah, it's got a good cast as well. It's got Lena Headey from Game of Thrones, Nick Frost, Jack Lowden, Vince Vaughn's in it.
Oh, right, some big ones then.
Yeah, and of course, it wouldn't be a wrestling film without Dwayne Johnson, The Rock.
Yes, The Rock.
Good film, though. Definitely recommend it.
Well, speaking of great casting, Dan, because you were just there in that lineup. Someone says, a great casting, a sluggish plot for a Marvel movie, don't disagree, a superhero riff on Red Sparrow, which is a real-world-based non-superhero, similar fashion spy film. Another one says, it's just to me, there was never a real grasp on what this film was supposed to be, which is quite damning. In the main, positive, people saying that it was really good to get the backstory, but there were some missteps. And I think that's probably fair to say. But that's what the critics say, Dan. Have you got any notes on critic comments before we go to the listeners?
No, but I will dive in quickly. If you do have Disney Plus, definitely check out Marvel Studios Assembled. So back in February 2021... this year, the documentary series Marvel Studios Assembled was announced, so you can actually check out I mentioned this off air, Alex, so you can watch how WandaVision was made, Falcon America. Yep. Loki, that's a really good watch. It's also narrated by one Tom Hiddleston. And we'll also be getting one for Black Widow. So this should be released sort of fairly shortly. I imagine probably be before Marvel's What If. Can't wait for that. Looking forward to that series. But no other critical response from myself. But we can go over to the listener.
Oh, yeah. Let's see what the listeners have got to say for themselves.
First up, we've got Sarah. I think she's on board with us. Ray Winston almost ruined it.
Yeah.
Next up, we've got Sam. I'm disappointed in myself that I haven't had a moment to go and see it yet. Now to race and see it before the on the topic klaxon. I love that.
The race to the klaxon. I like it.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully you've caught it. I mean, you've basically had an entire week of us not recording this episode. So Enjoy this episode, Sam. Next up, we've got Stacey. My daughter can't wait to see this. She's been counting down the days. Roll on summer holiday so I can take her. She has a Black Widow t-shirt ready.
Brilliant.
That is dress up. Proper adulting and raising your child very well.
At its finest.
Next up, we got Gemma, who said, I absolutely loved it. And she put loved it in big capitals. I guess some people are probably easier to please than us, but I mean, this is why we do the podcast. We have to break this stuff down.
It's interesting that I think you simultaneously cast shade on us and on Gemma in one foul swoop there. Easier to please.
She's part of the bride tribe, so I have no doubt she'll be WhatsApping me after this episode, giving me some grief. But yeah, I mean, that's just typical Dan Everett behaviour, that casting shade on us both. Sorry about that. Over to Twitter, Alex. I mean, this is quite rare we get stuff on Twitter. First up, we've got DS. Great, except for Taskmaster. A bit of a letdown, in my opinion.
Yeah. I wonder, though, whether people were expecting more like the Winter Soldier. Because there were vibes like that. You know, Bucky, what I mean to say. You know, kind of the scary music and the identity being hidden and just the sheer force of the character, which didn't really play out. We didn't really see a lot of it. No. And I wonder whether people expecting more of that experience but didn't get it. I certainly was. And we just didn't get enough of those fight scenes or interactions.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sort of very familiar with the comic book version. And you know what? I don't really care for the gender swapping. If it works for the narrative of the story, then, you know what, all for it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it just wasn't enough for me. I wanted sort of more, you know, that sort of mimicking of our favourite heroes. I know you get sort of like glimpses, but I think I just wanted a little bit more.
Yeah. And they could have done a lot more. You know, you've got, as I said, like 12 years of footage and of stunt activity, which they could have easily done a couple of Captain America moves in there and Black Panther and the rest of it. But we just got a bit of Hawkeye and then Widow. There wasn't really anything of reference. And I thought they kind of did an own goal there, don't you think? Just with the amount of footage they had and storylines and characters we've seen, that would have been an Easter egg hunt to behold, trying to work out where you'd seen that move before, where you'd seen that scene. And they didn't really. Yeah.
Yeah. And last up, we got KGO Jimbo. And
great name.
They said, it was fine, not boring, and it did scratch the Marvel movie itch we've all been waiting for. Downside, it flushes Taskmaster's rich source material down the toilet. Sure, an adaptation shouldn't be a one-to-one copy, but it sure as hell doesn't need to be a 95% full swap either.
Yeah, and I think they did that with Crossbones, didn't they?
Yeah.
In Civil War, I mean, you got 3 minutes of action fight scenes, and he was Rumlow, wasn't he? He was Rumlow who got bashed up in
Winter Soldier.
Captain America, yeah, Winter Soldier. And he got bashed up there and then reared his scarred face in Civil War. But I mean, that's a rich tapestry of storylines behind that character too, Crossbones. I mean, he's even in Civil War in the comic, and he's intrinsic to... Doesn't he shoot Spider-Man? Or is that Punisher?
I think it was the Punisher in the Ultimate Spider-Man comics.
But either way, he has quite a big role to play, Crossbones, and it was a nothing in the film adaptation. Yeah. I think they've done the same here in terms of Taskmaster.
Yeah, no, agreed. You know, if you read the comics, Crossbones is a bit of he's just an arsehole. He is a murderous 100%. Arsehole. He doesn't care, you know, he'll go around killing people and sorts, but you know, sort of very, you know, it's a Disney film, isn't it? You will dumb it down, but it just wasn't enough for me.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree with that comment.
But that wraps up for the listener, Alex.
It does. I think the last comment, Dan, actually, I think resonated with me the most. It's just fine. It tides us over. Looking forward to, is it Shang-Chi and the Ten Rings?
Yeah, there's a new trailer out, which I think dropped today, and I need to watch it actually. Probably watch it shortly with my other half. I presume it will go on Disney Plus as well as the cinema. I'm probably not too sure. But I mean, there's plenty of plenty to look forward to for the rest of the year as well. You know, we've got The Eternals in November. Yes. And then we've got Spider-Man No Way Home in December, which we're still waiting for the trailer for.
Yeah, the elusive trailer. There must be something out shortly. Mm. Didn't even a bit late. Bit of news, Dan. Not sure if you've picked this up in the old interwebs. Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania has commenced filming at the time of recording.
Yeah, I saw that.
So production has commenced and they're on set and they're doing their thing. So it's all systems go. And as I say, I think that's for me was Black Widow tiding us over. I think that the streaming shows worked for me. I don't think we necessarily now needed Black Widow, which is a shame. But I think it was just okay. And I'm fine with that. We wanted a little bit more, but it's an entertaining watch. Could watch it a couple of times, and I think I'm okay with fine.
Do you know what? I think if they'd released it, you know, post-Civil War, before Infinity War, I could have been like, yeah, do you know what? This is it. But I think...
Oh, 100%.
Because Marvel sort of heard the screams and shouts from social media, you know, we want a Black Widow film. They went ahead with it. It was just a little bit too late.
Yeah, I agree.
But, you know...
I see where they're going with it, but you're right. The timing was just... It lost the impact. I think a lot of people are saying, you know, we would have cared. Not that we didn't care. We did. But we would have cared more when Natasha... You know, gave up her life for the Soul Stone even more because we would have seen a little bit more about her vulnerabilities and about her friendships and about her family. We still feel that impact because we've already been through that many times from seeing Endgame and, you know, still chokes me up at times to see certain scenes. But yeah, I think it lost something. But hey, we got what we wanted.
Yeah.
Was it what we deserved, Dan?
I mean, I guess it was worth the wait. Like I say, it scratches that Marvel Cinematic Universe itch. But then, you know, I sort of go back on what I said, you know, about the timing. Maybe the cutscene wouldn't have worked.
Perhaps. But there we go. That is our review. But do you disagree? Do you agree? Get in contact, let us know. We've got some contact details down. How can our listeners... give us a shout and tell us whether we're on point, whether we're wildly off the mark.
Well, we are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at On The Topic Pod. Come and talk to me on Twitter. You know, I'm on there most days when I'm, you know, procrastinating. We've also got a link which will take you through to Anchor, which is where you can leave us a voice message and be a part of the show. And Alex, we've got a WordPress link as well.
We have a website. Yeah, it's On The Topic Podcast, all lowercase, all one word, onthetopicpodcast.wordpress.com. On there you can find our lovely mugs, a little bit of a bio. We've got links to all of our back catalogue, all 9 seasons, synopsis. It's all there. So if you don't have a particular podcast platform preference, lots of P's there and lots of alliteration. But if you don't have anything that you're particularly you know, aligned to, you can listen and stream it straight from our website. And we've got some links to some partner organizations, of which one of them is Morbid and Mundane. Get some brilliant cool threads and teas from Joey. Go have a look, go have a purchase, a cheeky purchase, and go represent some local independent talent.
Yeah, definitely. Get something out of Southsea. Oh, yeah. Well, what are we coming up next, Alex? Well, we will be asking you what grinds your gears? What belongs in the On The Topic Room 101 at the bottom of the Mariana Trench?
Indeed.
Any examples, Alex, for our listeners?
People who eat with their mouth open, Dan.
Disgusting.
It really gets on my tits. how people still operate this way and conduct themselves in a public arena with their mouths open is beyond me. But just shut your damn mouth when you're eating. It's not too much to ask for. So that's mine, Dan. Have you got one?
Yeah, another spoiler alert. Obviously, I'll sort of dive more into it when we record the episode. But political talk, too emotive. I just think it brings out the worst in people. And I've got a family story that will go behind this one. So tune in for that episode.
Just don't talk about politics, guys.
No.
Don't do it.
But we'll come back together. We'll get our heads together and we'll figure out what we're going to do again in the future. But of course, if there is anything you want us to cover, get in touch. We want to hear from you. Let us know.
Indeed. It's your views, your podcast. Get in touch and we'll add it to the list.
Oh, I haven't heard that for a while. Your views, your podcast. And
It's
it
good, isn't it?
is. This is about you as well. This isn't just about us two on the South Coast.
No. So, yeah, do us a favor, give us a shout, and yeah, you could be part of the show. That's it, Dan. It's been a good one to review. I haven't done a film review proper for a while, and I've enjoyed it. So for another week, I'm going to be hastily trying to get into my black spy cat suit. And that's a picture you never really wanted to see. I've been Alex.
I've got no hope of my beer belly. I'm Dan.
And we'll see you next time.